Corinthians here, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Just a little review. We said in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that their past, their culture they lived in, where it was leaking into their worship of God, it was leaking into the church. Anybody remember how that was, how it leaked into the church, what they brought with them, and what they were doing in church? Yes? Okay. Had a lot of things, but we started off with especially idolatry in this chapter. Yes, Smith, you had something else? Yep, things like that. They were bringing and so how do we do that today in churches? How do churches do that today? What do they do to bring the world's process they're brought up into the church today? Yes, sir. Okay, lots of things. It's worship of self is a big thing right now. It's all about you, health and wealth, prosperity gospel, things like that. It's all. It's just bringing it in because people are comfortable with it, and church is all about comfort is kind of the thought. That was one thing that surprised me more than anything when I began to pastor. And maybe my pastor sheltered me from it some because I didn't hear it that much. But when I became a pastor, is everyone I'm comfortable with this? I'm not comfortable with this. I want this. I really am comfortable for it. And it was all about comfort, not worshiping God. And Jesus, of course, never promised comfort. he said, "You want to follow me? I don't have a place to lay down my head. The foxes have holes. I don't have anywhere. And do you still really want to follow me?" And so we do the same thing. And that's part of the deal. And in the missions field, as you go around the world, you see that part of the culture. It's okay that culture, as far as who you are culturally. Like, let me illustrate, for example. If you go to a Korean church, Koreans, part of their culture is to eat together and stay all day at church. And as a matter of fact, don't ever go to a Korean church if you have a sensitive nose because they eat kimchi all afternoon. And I don't know, God can never be involved in kimchi. Is that kimchi? Is that what they call that food? And all right. And So they'll do that, and another church, you'll go, and they'll just sing for an hour, and that's just they're just a singing culture, and so different. That's fine. That's not the morality, of the cult. That's not the bad part. If you're in a country that kisses on the cheek, then you kiss on the cheek, you know, give a little Italian kiss on the cheek. Okay, in America we shake hands, no big deal, but there's a part of the culture you don't want to bring in. That's your old paganism. That's your old worldliness and immorality. And so I go to churches around the world, and they do things differently, and I'm perfectly at home. I just jump in and do what they do, you know, for the most part. And I've never been in a culture, in a church. I've always gone to good churches where anything was immoral or bad, but this church there was, and American churches do. That's not what we want to have happen. Horace, you raise your hand for something? Yeah.
Paul was saying, "Hey, take man's religion out and use Christ's religion."
Yeah.
Sit down and what was right and wrong.
Yeah.
And Paul was just interpreting it. He had the man of God.
Yeah. So they're dealing with these problems, and also showed up in confusion. Confusion. The church is very confusing. And people were having a feast. They were getting drunk, and other people didn't have food for communion. People were having they were doing self edification. It was about me, and their gifts were used themselves and things like that. We'll get into that a little bit more. A selfish worship to edify self. It was all about you. And the Bible says, look on the things of others and love your neighbor as yourself. So they had a lot of things, and so it came out, and we see that, and so And as we get into this, we'll go back a little bit to chapter 12. And there are many types of helps the Lord gives us in the church, gives the church. So verse 1 and 2, remember, you were Gentiles come away led by dumb idols, and no man speaking but the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. You guys have got crazy stuff going on here. It's confusion. God's not the author of confusion. The service is chaotic, and that's not God's way. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, the Bible says, and so that's all messed up. And then in verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, we read this noticing the oneness of the church. It's going to end in a big passage about it. You're all one. One God, one Spirit. And however, we're going back in these verses now, and it lists a little bit about gifts here. And there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, for all to profit together. Let's pray. Lord, we have the Word of God here, and we thank you we can understand it. Thank you, Lord, we can learn some valuable lessons for us today and for the church today. And I pray that, Lord, I would certainly speak the words of God, and we would get the wisdom of God. We would see things the way you want us to see them, and have the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world, not the mind of what we want, but just think like you think and see like you see and yield to you. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to see what you have for us, Lord, and to be helped and to be encouraged and to learn and to learn how to help each other more. And Lord, I pray you also speak to our hearts and strengthen us for today's service and make us be strengthened and encouraged for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in this verses, we got three different things for the Lord gives to help the churches. A lot of people talk about just the word gifts. God gives gifts to the church, but God doesn't just mention gifts here. He mentions a couple other things. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. So the first thing we have is gifts, but the same Spirit. One God who's speaking this, so there isn't a chaotic several messages. There's one God who gives gifts, but the same Spirit that gives all those gifts to us. And the first thing is gifts. The word gifts is the Greek word charisma. That's where we get the word charismatic from. We heard of a charismatic church. It's about gifts there. And so that's where it comes from. That's where they get the word from, is from the Greek word charisma, which means gifts. The word, the exact definition is divine endowment, divine gratuity, or divine deliverance. It basically means miraculous gifts. It's what we think of as what you think of spiritual gifts. What I want to say is what we normally think of as spiritual gifts: speaking in tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, healing, raising of the dead. Those spiritual gifts that people did in the Bible. Not raising of the dead is not a gift, but things they did. You would think of spiritual gifts of those things. That's what the Bible would talk about those as. And then second thing we see, verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And so we see the oneness there. Administrations, the word is deaconos, where we get the word deacon from. The word means to serve. Literally, definition is attendance to serve or aid. So these are gifts of serving and helping. These aren't necessarily what you would call miraculous gifts. It is a gift where you have the ability to serve and help, and that's what you like to do. And the thing about it is, God knew who you were before you were born, so he wired you a certain way because he knew you'd be in this church, and he knew this church would have that need, so he wired you to come help that need someday. And you might have been like that when you're 5 years old. You might have been before you were saved. You were like that, but you're wired to do those things, and those are administrations that are there to serve. And then there's the third thing we see, verse 6, there are diversities of operations. So here's three different things. Now, a lot of times, spiritual gifts. That's not all there is. There's spiritual operations. There's spiritual administrations. There's all kinds of things. And not all of them are miraculous, wild, incredible things like that. The person who says, I want to just go and I just want to clean up after church. And that's a joy to them. That's a gift that God made them that way. We can call it a gift. It's an administration. It's something God gave them. And so a lot of those things are neglected that are there, these things that God gives to make a church work together in some churches to become like the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church became all about gifts to the point of chaos. And those gifts were used to edify themselves. And so it became a big thing about you and you having a crazy service where you just edify yourself and you're speaking in tongues for yourself and you're doing things for yourself. And Paul came and said, "What are you doing?" Boy, doesn't that sound familiar? It's just a cycle. It comes around, goes around, and there's these other things in the church. Operations. By the way, we get the word operations from the word energemia, and you get the word energy from that. It's an effect, active and efficient, or mighty in something. Basically, it means production. Productive. You would think of leading and producing. The gift of operations is those who make things operate. They are the people who get things done, who administrate everything, who go and organize this and get this done and make sure this happens. Can I tell you, in life, there has to be people like that around. You know, if in your workplace, if you took out two or three people, you would find out that your whole crew would do almost nothing because there's just a few people who are the people who make anything happen. And those people are important. You've been at a job probably before where you're sitting there working hard and you look around and everybody else is kind of dinking around until the supervisor shows up. And then all of a sudden everybody starts working hard. And hopefully you were working hard the whole time because you're working for the Lord. But those are those people who not just are supervisors, but they also are productive. They make things happen. They get things done. And that's a gift. There are people who are wonderful people who will just do what they're told. They want to be told what to do. And they aren't people who make things happen. They'll kind of stand around and say, "Why isn't it, something probably needs done here?" But they won't initiate it. And that's fine. Because if everybody's a leader, if everybody's in charge, you have anarchy. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians means a bad tribe, and so you have all, everybody makes everybody else do the teepees, and no teepees get put up, and it just doesn't work. And so, God will blend a church together with all those different things. I have people in this church who if I said I want you to come up and organize something, they would start going into coronary collapse. I mean, they would be no, Pastor, no. But they say to me, "I like to help. And if you can find jobs for me to do, I want to help out. If you have anything that needs done, just call me." I probably, in this room, I probably have 8 people in this room that have asked me, "You know what, if there's something that needs done, just call me because I like to just get things done. I don't want to be in front of anybody. I don't want to be in charge." And those are important people to me because I call them. I've learned to call them. I'm not good at it. I'm learning to do that. And it helps me if they live closer. Robbie, I call you all the time, don't I? "I need a ladder, Robbie. I need a tool. I need this. Robbie, do you know where I can get this? Can you run to Lowe's for me?" I call Robbie all the time because he just lives right down the street. And Robbie doesn't do that. But Robbie, you want to set up in front of everybody and organize it? He actually runs. He has to run a business, but so he has to do that. But he's great at serving. And there's others in this room. I don't want to name people because then other people are like that also. And so we have all these things. We have a person who's productive, who is efficient, electric, energia. They lead and produce. We have the people who serve and aid. We have the people who have divine gifts and are able to do miracles and do amazing things. And so in the Bible, we have a bunch of different lists of spiritual gifts. Now, I'm gonna mess up here because I'm going to call it gifts to include all three of these things. So if I do that, can you follow that? Because I don't want to say gifts, administrations, and operations. I don't want to say it all three times. So these gifts that are actually three different things, there's several lists of gifts in the Bibles. Most people, when you say, "Where are spiritual gifts?" 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. Yes, they're here. And they're actually in two spots in 1 Corinthians 12. But they're also in Romans 12. They're also in Ephesians 4. They're in other passages. And so we'll read some of these passages. And as I read these passages, let's just figure out what do these fall under? Are they the gifts in administration or serving? Or are they energy of producing? And so let's go down to... verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, So the word of wisdom is, or the word of knowledge in the next part here, another word of knowledge. Word of wisdom is somebody has the wisdom to tell you what to do with their life. That's counseling. Okay? And so there's something there. We could see that it would be a type of gift. It's another word of knowledge. I believe the word of knowledge in the Bible is God gives you a word to give somebody, even you don't even know necessarily what you're talking about. You might say, God is telling you that you're going to make it, or whatever. Just a word comes to you. However, you don't even, it's a word of knowledge from God. You don't even know they're going through a trial, maybe. But you get a word of knowledge from God. Okay, that would be a charisma gift. That would be a miraculous gift. You follow? That is something that God gives you miraculously, and so you have that. verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Faith actually is a leadership thing in many situations because it's a producing thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't do anything in the spiritual life without faith. As a leader, I have to have faith that God is going to, we're going to go here and do this as a church. We have to believe God can take us there. And faith is many times a production thing. And so we'll have a gift of faith by the same Spirit. Another gifts of healing. So what would the gifts of healing be under? Anybody? Gifts of healing. Miraculous. It'd be a charisma gift. Gift of healing. To another, prophecy. All right? Prophecy, anybody? Same thing. It'd be miraculous. To another, discerning of spirits. So some people are able to discern spirits. They can sense spirits. They can listen very quickly and tell if it's evil or good. What do you think that would be? Could be the same thing. Could be under other things, but it could be. Another, diverse kinds of tongues. By the way, the one thing to understand about tongues, the word tongue in the Bible, that they don't say languages in the Bible, they say tongues in the King James Version, okay? It's used all over the Bible, and we'll show you in the next 2 weeks. Whenever somebody says speaking in tongues, they're saying speaking in languages. It really clarifies things. If you just say this mysterious speaking in tongues, the Bible, when it says speaking in tongues, the word tongues is used it's the word language, okay? It's used all over the Bible for the word language. So speaking in languages, okay? It is miraculous. It is a charisma gift because you speak a language you don't know. But it's not a language where you're just talking and nobody knows you're talking about it. And it's not as mysterious as people make it out with today because it's used wrong. Because it's not used like in the Bible. So we see these different gifts here. And to another, the interpretation of tongues, of languages. But all these worketh one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So every man gets one Spirit. The Spirit blends these all together and does these things. All right, let's look down to verse 28. Again, here's gifts. This could be the production. This could be the serving. This could be the divine. Let's look at these and see what they are. Verse 29. Up verse 28. And God has set some in the church first apostles. Apostles were the production people. They had miraculous gifts also, but the apostle was a person who was writing the Bible, who was filling in until the word scripture all came. Are all prophets, that's charisma. Are all teachers. The pastor teacher is a gift. What do you think the pastor teacher is? What kind of gift do you think that is? Okay, it'd be wisdom. Part of it's really more than anything. It's the operation. It's the leader. It's the producing. It's teaching the word of God to everybody. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. It's the only spot in the Bible you're supposed to covet. And there's actually a couple of spots. One of the only spots in the Bible we're supposed to covet. Covet better gifts and want to be able to do more for God and learn how to do things. So there's things you can learn. There's gifts you can ask for. There's things you can get. You can maybe not be a leader, but ask God to make you a leader. You can maybe not be a teacher, but ask God give me the ability to teach. You can gain. You can learn things. And you can and desire the most spiritual gifts. Have all the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues. Do all interpret. In this verse, you see, obviously, not everybody has every gift. Okay? It says, are all apostles? Certainly not. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, but covet earnestly the best gifts. So somebody tells you, speaking in tongues is evidence that you're full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, do all speak with tongues? So it can't be an evidence of fullness of Spirit, because God commands every Christian to be full of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where it is excessive, but be filled with the Spirit. It is a gift, like prophecy, and nobody says, well, are you full of the Holy Spirit with evidence of prophesying? No. Not everybody prophesies. Not everybody's a pastor. Not everybody's an apostle. Not everybody has the same gifts, but God blends these gifts together and does these things. Tongues are incredibly misunderstood. Speaking in languages are incredibly misunderstood. We'll teach on it in the next couple weeks. We're not going to get to it today. We see these lists. All right, let's look at another list of gifts. Let's go to Romans, which is the book before 1 Corinthians. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 5. It says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. There's that oneness again as a church. And every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. So different gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Prophecy, we said, is a charisma gift. Our ministry, that's serving. That's obvious what that's under, what kind of gift that is. Or serving, let us wait on our ministry, and let's do it. Or he that teacheth on teaching, so the gift of teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Exhorting is a type of correction of people and encouraging them to do right. Some people have a gift of that. And there's people who cannot exhort. There are people who you try to say, you can do it, you can make it, but it comes out, you dirtbag, what are you doing? I mean, it just doesn't come out right when you try to do it. I mean, there's those people you get around, and every time you talk to them, you feel like you can climb Mount Rainier on one foot. You know, they just make you think you can do it. There's hopeful. There's those encouraging people, and it's a gift, and God makes people like that. And if that's you, make sure you use it. Make sure you tell people and encourage them and do that. There's people like that. Or he that giveth. Well, that's a strange gift. The gift of giving, and the gift of giving is very much a gift. The gift of giving is wonderful. When you meet a giver, they are not attached to anything. And I'm attached to things. Now, if God tells me, you have to give this away, I could give anything I own away. But I don't say, oh, I don't care. Here it is. I say, rip. Not that I'm greedy about everything, but I don't have the gift of giving. But some of you, and by the way, if you have the gift of giving, don't think everybody else is greedy. Everybody else isn't greedy. We're normal. You're special. Okay? And understand that. Givers are strange because God just gives stuff to them. Here's some giver, and they're just sitting here and, you know, God, give me something to give away. And boom, here comes a nice thing, and here comes a new thing, and here comes this. And then somebody, you know, drops this, and somebody doesn't need this. And everybody who doesn't need something goes to them. Hey, you need a blah, blah, blah. Oh, sure, I'll take it. And all of a sudden, here comes somebody else. You know, I really need a blah, blah, blah. Oh, I got a blah, blah, blah. Here, have it. That's their whole life. They have a ball giving. They love giving. They are miserable when they can't give. And that's just the way they are. That's a gift. The gift of giving. It's a wonderful gift. And you need those in church. There are people who, church says, we're going on the mission ship. We need an extra $1,000. They say, oh, this is going to be great. And somebody else says, where's my wallet? I'm locking it up. I don't have to. Most people say, I'd like to give, and I'll try to do it. But they won't drain their account. You know what? I got enough to pay my bills. The rest, who cares? They'll say, I finally got some money saved. No way. But a giver, they know the extra money came into their bank account just to give. Tax return times, awesome for them. And they go up and they look for needs. They look for needs. That's givers, and givers are a blessing. And so it's another gift. Some of us have to get to receiving. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And that's how you're supposed to give. He that ruleth with diligence. So there's a position, a thing. Person who's in charge. And they're supposed to do it with diligence, and the leader has to be diligent. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And if we look at these gifts, they're all different gifts. I don't have the gift of giving, I have the gift of mercy. Gift of mercy is a strange gift because you always believe in people. And you always think somebody can make it. And you have a tendency to find messed up people and hurting people. And I would have more fun in fellowship with someone who's just like me, who's just as mature as me, who is just as strong as me. However, I don't tend to hang around them. I don't tend to just stay around them all day. I like to when I'm with them, but I tend to go find the down and outers. Always. I've always been like that. My pastor used to take me aside and say, do you always have to find the most messed up people you can possibly find and bring them to church? I mean, that was just me. I mean, it didn't matter. If somebody's a crack addict, somebody's messed up. So I enjoy fixing messed up people. And I don't run out of patience for them. Man, shouldn't say that. I usually don't. I've learned to run out of patience for them. I have to control my gift of mercy. Sometimes I let them mess around too much and keep giving the same opportunities. And sometimes I have to step back and say, you know what? Lay in the gutter for a while, which is very hard for me to do. But sometimes I have to say, suffer. You're not learning. And so I get the mercy makes it so that our church tends towards that, and we tend towards down and outers. Now, we like to have people who have it all together, people who are sharp, people who don't need help, people who aren't high maintenance. It's awesome. But Jesus says, hey, you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go find the one lost one. So I have to get the mercy. You can come to me, you ruin your life, and you curse me out, leave the church, tell me you hate my guts, tell me it's the worst church in the world, and call me 45 times, threaten me, and all those things. And then you go ruin your life and end up in jail, and you get out of prison and your life's messed up and your life's ruined, and you call me, and you know I won't hold a single thing against you. Matter of fact, the weird thing about me is my memory is completely selective. And it's really miraculous because I won't remember your bad unless I need to. And I will forget, I won't even bring it up. And you'll say, you probably remember I did this. And I'll say, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And you say, oh, stupid me, because I forgot about it. But I can only bring it up when I need it. And by the way, it's miraculous. I can bring it up when I need it. If you had a problem with sexual immorality and I need a teacher, I'll remember that I can't use you for that. But I won't bring it up to you. I won't bring it up to anybody else. So that's a gift. And some of you have that gift. And so there's all these different gifts. We don't all have all the gifts. And there's some gifts that I wish I had and do those things. And he that ruleth the diligent, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. and that is when you show mercy. You know, somebody doesn't have to get the mercy, and someone who hasn't learned how to help people, they have mercy with grumpiness. All right, I'm going to pay your bills this time, but I want you to know that was stupid. And you got to tell them. They need to know just how irritating this is to have to do that for them. And I think you know what I'm talking about when you feel like doing that. They don't come to you for help very often when you're like that. And by the way, when you need to, you need to do that. You need to cry, say, what are you doing, Dodo? And I never say stupid, you say Dodo. Do Dodo head. And you do these things, but you gotta do these things right and use your gifts right. Let love be without dissimulation. So we see this gift. One more list, Ephesians 4. So we see a lot of different gifts here. And some I wish I had, and some I have, and just like you, some you have. And desire the gifts. Don't covet being somebody else, but desire the gifts. Ephesians 4. And verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These gifts here are leaderships in churches. And these are the leaders in churches are there to complete you. And I want to say this. It's no wonder with a planning God, a God of decently and in order, that he says in Hebrews 13:7 and verse 17, it says, submit, obey them to have the rule over you who speak to you the word of God and obey them and submit to them, for they watch for your souls. It's no wonder God says follow your spiritual authority, because way back when, God prepared a spiritual authority for you and put you underneath of them. And then he gives them the gifts to lead you. And so they can, and I understand there's cult leaders, but they've gone outside the will of God. I understand that you don't follow them into wrong and immorality. But you need to have spiritual leaders, because they're going to perfect you. And your spiritual leader will come to you or preach, and the Holy Spirit will say to you, yes, you need to change this. And God puts you underneath them in order to make you complete, because by yourself you will always justify your faults and weaknesses and stay there, or you won't see them, but they're to make you, you're three quarters of a circle, they're to say, you're missing part of your circle. And it's a gift from God. So the phrase I've told people before is, let yourself be pastored. Let yourself be parented by your parents, and let yourself be mentored. Find people who can complete you, and let them complete you. And it's a blessing to do that. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. You say, what gifts do I have? Well, we just listed a lot of them. How many, just from what I've read, you already know some of the gifts you had? Have some of those things. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have the gifts of help? So we just read that. I didn't even point it out. The Bible says helps as a gift. How many of the gifts of help? You just like to help. You don't necessarily be in any charge. You just whatever needs. You have a joy in just cleaning up or fixing or whatever needs done. Okay. I have that gift, by the way. I am just as happy. I am more happy fixing something at church than I am. I like preaching and teaching. That's a gift I have, pastor, teacher. But as far as leader and taking charge and telling people what to do, I don't like telling people what to do. I don't like that. I just do it because I have to and I can, but it's not my gift. And God's given me the ability to do that, just not my preference. But I like serving. How many of you have the gift of giving? Okay, you have the gift of giving. That's great. And a lot of you do. Good. And go scratch lottery tickets and ask God to bless it. No, don't do that. And so that's good. And God will bless you in that. And by the way, ask him to give you something to give. And do that. That's great if you can do that. And so different gifts like that we can see. And how many of you are teachers? You're a teacher. You have the gift of teaching. Okay. You like to teach. And it's a fun gift. It's like eating candy. It's teaching people things. Good. There's a lot of gifts there we can read. And we'll get into all these things. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, how many of you had the gift of encouraging people? How many had that gift? Okay, good. I don't have that gift. And I do it. I'm not terrible at it. I have it. But it's not my primary gift, certainly. And so, how many have the gift of rebuking and making people miserable? How many have the gift of grumpiness? And so, 1 Corinthians... Chapter 12, and now we're going to go into this concept of one body. We've read a lot of the verses. I'm going to finish up with that. We're going to have to hurry a little bit. There's a concept of one body in the Bible. It's very important, and I'm going to give you points. I'm not going to read through the whole passage because of time, but I would otherwise. First, we are all one body. The church is one body. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You see the word one body there? It's one body. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We're all one body. Number two, the church has many parts. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Now, very simply, the whole rest of this chapter is going to be talking about the church is like a body. Your body has many parts. I got a fingernail, and I've got an ear, and I've got a toe, and I've got a nose, and I've got a wrist, and I've got and you have all kinds of body parts, and an eyelash, and all kinds of things, and they're all working together to make this thing work. It is amazing. The human body is so amazing that just an explosion in the middle of nowhere and just a piece of rock brought forth this amazing, incredible thing that works together so good. That's really amazing. And that every single thing, your tear ducts, the acid being produced in your stomach, every little detail is all working together. And you don't even realize it's doing it. You don't know your tear ducts are doing it. You don't understand all that your small intestine is doing. and all your liver is doing, and your lymph nodes and all those things. And we don't even understand all that's happening in our body right now. There's a little circus going on in my brain, and what my eyes are seeing are going in there and they're thinking and making decisions and speaking to my tongue, and my tongue's coordinated with my teeth and my lips and the way I'm breathing out my mouth to make words. It's amazing the way a body works together. It's incredible. And so we're a body, and we're all a part of a body. You're an eye, you're an ear, you're a nose, you're a mouth. Some are more mouths than others. We're a knee, we're all these different parts. And so we all do different things in the church. We're part of one body. The body has many parts. Next, your part is important. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? It'd be kind of weird. A bunch of eyes sitting around. There's one big eye. It ain't going to get anywhere. It'd be kind of strange, wouldn't it? All we can do is see each other. If the whole body were an ear, where were the seeing? The body's got a lot of parts, and they're all important. And there are things that you don't even know you have until they're injured. And then all of a sudden you find out, I have a what? And why is it hurting me so bad? One little disc. There's a nerve called a sciatic nerve. Try having problems with that sciatic nerve sometime. You'll find out that that thing's important. But you wouldn't know what a sciatic nerve and what an L4 is until you have a problem with it most of the time. Then you say, boy, that L4 is an important little disc and a little important little the cartilage there all matters. What's a cartilage? Lose your cartilage in your knee. You'll find out every part of your body is important. Everything is important. You pull one muscle, it can be an obscure muscle. There's athletes who will not play in the NFL today because they pulled an oblique. Who knows what an oblique is? Okay, a couple of you, and good, not very many of them, and so we every part is important, and every part of the church. You say it doesn't matter if I'm not there; nobody knows this. No, you're a part of a body. Get your little toenail smashed. You can't walk without your big toe very well. You know that if your big toe gets cut off, you'll find out that part was important, and every part is important. And everybody, the Lord puts everybody in a church to do a job. Verse 18. But now hath God set many, set the members, every one of them in the body, as that pleased him. The small things are very important. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor. And our own comely parts have abundant comeliness. Things that don't seem the most attractive are very important. Your heart's an ugly hunk of flesh, but it's pretty important. It's weak. Your heart is one little. You can get a little pin to stab through your hand, and you're fine. You can get a stab through your cheek, you're okay. But get a little pin to stab through your heart, and you're gone. Your eye, and just you're done. When your eye gets injured, you can't do anything else. I mean, it is so painful. And I don't know why, but one eye is injured, the other eye can't see very good either. And he can't see very good. I mean, get a toothache. And you can't do much sometimes you get a toothache. And so all these things, they are very important. And when you don't have them, you miss them. And I want to say, you as part of a church, you're important. When you become part of a body and you not being there, the church will be missing something, and your job is important. And you say, what's my job? Because someone will come through those doors who needs you. You're the one who they'll understand, and you're the one who'll understand them, and you're the one who'll help them. Because one day, you're going to walk up and say a word to me when I'm down and depressed and just feel like quitting everything. And you're going to walk up and just say the right word, and I'm going to make it because of you. You don't know. And God's given you a gift, and you got to do your job as much as you can, and do your part that you can do. My back is destroyed. I can't lift anything. Okay, fine. Then your gift is not helping. I understand that. There's things you can't do because of limitations. But somebody else, they because of physical limitations, but they love to pray and they have the time. then we need your gift of prayer. It's all important. Each person is equal in importance. We all see that, and it's all important. Verse 25, there should be no schism in the body, that all the members should have the same care for one for another, for whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So we see those things. Next, everybody doesn't have the same gift. Well, we could just read the whole passage. We just read that. Verse 29, are all apostles or all prophets? Not everybody has the same gift. What is my gift? How do I know that? You're going to find that out. God will give that to you. A couple verses here. Verse 11, but all these things worketh that one and selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God gives every man the gift. Verse 31, but covets earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Let me get back to that in a sec. I'm going to read the last point. Your gifts are not for you, but for the whole body. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were they hearing? If the whole body were the... Turn to chapter 14. Chapter 14, let me give you a couple verses here. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except that he interprets the church can be edified. It's important the church is edified. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Verse 26, how is it, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. Your gift is to help others, not for your personal edification. How do I know my gift? How do I let God use it? I just want to say, I didn't know I was a pastor, teacher. I had no clue about that until I was involved in church, and the pastor said, we need you to teach a class. And I said, this is awesome. And then I taught again, and then I taught again, and people started saying, boy, you are a really good teacher. I had no idea until I got involved. I didn't know how much joy I'd give that I had any gift. And it's very simple. God puts you into a body, and God gives your body part. My eyelash didn't choose to be an eyelash. God put it in my body. And when I say, get involved in your church, live for God, look for opportunities, and you'll find joy, and you'll find your gift, and you'll find a niche when you look and when you're trying to be a part. And you'll find a niche, and your niche is where you love doing it, and it's a privilege, and you see God gifted you, and you're good at it, and you're gifted at that. And so that's how you'll find out. We got a lot to cover next couple weeks. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the chance to teach. Give us a great ability to be involved and do our part in a church, and use our gifts for you and our administrations and our operations. Father, thank you for giving us an ability to be a part of your work. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We'll be back in not very long.